Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas, a ministry devoted to educating the Gentile church about the Jewish roots and nature of the Christian faith and taking the gospel of Yeshua back to the Jewish people of Israel. Well, today we come to the most solemn and most serious of the seven feasts in Israel's sacred calendar. That would be Yom Kippur, or in English we call it the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was the day in which God forgave Israel of their sins through the blood sacrifice of the goat. On this day, God would cover the sins of the nation of Israel through the blood offering of one goat devoted to Yahweh, while the other goat, called the scapegoat, Azazel, was led away into the wilderness. Both goats signified, number one, that an atoning price for sin was made by the death of an innocent substitutionary victim. And secondly, those sins were to be carried away, never to be brought back in remembrance before the Lord. On the Day of Atonement, one goat was sacrificed in the Holy of Holies, killed as the sacrificial victim to atone for Israel's sins, and the other goat was driven away into the wilderness to bear away the sins of the people. On this day, on Yom Kippur, the high priest would solemnly enter into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies. He would go within the veil, separating the most holy place and the Holy of Holies. And there in the Holy of Holies, he would take the blood of the Lord's sacrifice, the goat. And there the blood would be applied on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. The blood was sprinkled over this mercy seat, and God would then cleanse the nation of their sin to be renewed each year on the Day of Atonement. Not only was Israel cleansed from sin on this day, but the priesthood and the sanctuary as well. This is the sixth feast in Israel's sacred calendar. Yom Kippur is, without question, the most serious, solemn, and awesome day in the religious calendar of Judaism. Yom Kippur provides a prophetic background pointing to the messianic truth that Israel's Messiah would be the ultimate payment for sin, that through His shed blood and life-given, permanent, final, and irreversible atonement was made, not only for Israel, but for the world. The Hebrew phrase for the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, originally comes from the Hebrew word kafar, meaning to cover. The essential idea of blood atonement is to cover over the impurities, the sins, and the moral defilement of one who has transgressed God's law. So the word atonement basically means a covering. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, therefore, was the day on which an atonement was made for the previous year's sins of the nation of Israel. The Day of Atonement is predicated on the fact that the blood of the innocent sacrificial victim makes atonement for the sins of the guilty and thereby acquits and cleanses them from the guilt of their sin. Remember what the Lord said in the Torah, Leviticus 17:11. He said, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement or covering for the soul." Leviticus 17:11. And this is the sine qua non of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. That is, it is the blood shed that makes atonement for the soul. And not any blood, the blood of an innocent victim. The details for how Yom Kippur was to be carried out are given specifically in the book of Leviticus. Specifically, chapters 16 and Leviticus 23, 26 through 32. We'll look at the passage in Leviticus 23, starting in verse 26. The Lord tells Moses here, "And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, Also the tenth day of the seventh month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people." So this was serious business. If you did not grieve and afflict your soul over your sins committed that prior year, if you do not take sin seriously in the eyes of a holy and righteous God, you were to be cut off from Israel. Would to God that kind of attitude would exist in the church today, as it was supposed to exist in ancient Israel and in Judaism as a whole concerning the Day of Atonement. If we would take the fact that our sins are grievous in the eyes of the Lord, perhaps we would sin less often and live more for Him. I'm preaching not only to myself when I say that, as well as to you, my audience. The Lord goes on in verse 30 of Leviticus 23 to say, "And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest. And you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening. You shall celebrate your Sabbath." Now, as we have noticed here with this feast, it comes after all the other five feasts which came before. And as we've discovered in our extended study of the seven feasts of the Lord given to Israel in Leviticus 23, these feasts are types and shadows of the life, ministry, death, resurrection, and return of Messiah. They are snapshots. The feasts of Israel are prophetic and messianic snapshots from Calvary to the second coming. And Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is no different. Briefly, we discovered how each of these feasts point to the Messiah and represent a certain aspect of His person or ministry. We discovered that in Passover we have the Messiah, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. As John the Baptist said, and as Paul said, in keeping with this theme, he wrote in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Then, after Passover, coming on its heels, we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, called in Hebrew Chag Hamotzah, Hamotzot, Chag Hamotzot. The Feast of Unleavened Bread symbolizes the sinless Messiah. Leaven in the Bible is a symbol for sin. So anything that was without leaven was without sin, and the Messiah was sinless. He himself said to his enemies, "Which of you convicts me of sin?" The writer of Hebrews affirmed the sinlessness and moral perfection of Messiah. That is, he was without leaven when he said that he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And so Mashiach is our unleavened bread. Following unleavened bread on the first day of the week in the Hebrew calendar, we have the Feast of First Fruits, typifying the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Then those in the church will be raptured and raised at His coming. Jesus was the first to be raised from the dead. Hence, He is the first fruits of the resurrection harvest to come. And then, following the Feast of First Fruits, we have a 49 or 50-day interval, depending upon how you count that extra day. 50 days, and we come to Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost. The antitype to this feast is and was fulfilled with the descent and outpouring of Ruach HaKodesh, that is, the Holy Spirit, to birth and form the New Testament church. Acts 2 records the messianic fulfillment of Pentecost. Then we have the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. Two things here are typified by the Feast of Trumpets. The rapture of the church will occur with the sounding of the shofar trumpet, signaling the dead in Christ to be raised, and then we Christians who will be alive at that time, we will be translated, caught up in the air without seeing death, to meet the Lord in the air with those Christians who have died before that time. They will be raised. We will be translated together with them. And then secondly, the Feast of Trumpets typifies the full regathering of Israel at the second coming of Messiah Jesus to this earth. When the Lord returns, He tells us in Isaiah 27:13 and Matthew 24:31 that He will send His angels throughout the four corners of the earth, and with a great sound of a trumpet gather all His Jewish elect back into the land of Israel in preparation for the Messianic Kingdom, which will last for 1,000 years over all the earth. And so now we come to Yom Kippur. We come to the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. And this feast is prophetically significant as well. Just as Passover and all the other feasts before this one contains prophetic significance, so does Yom Kippur. And there is a threefold fulfillment. There is a threefold fulfillment that is present, that will occur, if you will, with the Day of Atonement. First of all, the Day of Atonement found fulfillment in the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what He said during His ministry. He said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. His death paid the price for the penalty of our sins and thus liberates us from the bondage of this inclination towards evil. He delivered us from the tyranny of Satan and the power of the grave. And so the death of Messiah is the preeminent fulfillment of Yom Kippur. So therefore it has already been fulfilled in history with the death, the atoning death of Messiah. Yom Kippur is currently, secondly, this is the second fulfillment out of the threefold fulfillment, and the second fulfillment is being fulfilled during the present church age. It is being fulfilled right now in every individual believer's life who has placed their trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse them from sin and to make an atonement for their souls. Third, this feast will be fulfilled in the future with the nation of Israel when the Lord returns and they look upon Him whom they have pierced and mourn for Him as one mourns for an only son. At that point in time, their sins, Israel's sins, primarily their sin of unbelief towards the Messiah, will be forgiven and cleansed. Zechariah 13:1, which we will elaborate on further. In fact, this threefold fulfillment of the Day of Atonement, fulfilled first in the Messiah, His death on the cross, the second being fulfilled in the life of every believer who experiences the efficacious benefits of Christ's atoning death, and third, it will be fulfilled in the future with the return of Christ to Israel. We will unfold for you in detail this threefold fulfillment of the Day of Atonement today and in subsequent lessons on this most important feast. In order to fully appreciate the prophetic, messianic, and spiritual significance of the Day of Atonement, we have to realize that there is a great importance attached to this feast. This feast reminds us that the only way you and I can have fellowship and forgiveness with God is through the blood of atonement of which the Lord ordains. There are those who see only a historical fulfillment in Christ. This feast, I should say. But they fail to see a future or experiential fulfillment in the church and with Israel. And there are those on the other side who exclusively see a future fulfillment with Israel, but fail to see the fulfillment in Christ and the Day of Atonement's fulfillment in the life of every Christian believer during the church age. So we want to cover all three aspects of the fulfillment of Yom Kippur. Now, I read you earlier the proper guidelines for celebrating, or observing, I should say is a better word, observing Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur was the most solemn, somber, and serious of all days in Israel's festival calendar. As with the other five feasts that came before Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement was a literal 24-hour day in Israel. When a person comes to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and by that he accepts his death as payment for his sins, that is the Day of Atonement experienced in the believer's life. When Israel sees the return of the Messiah and they recognize the marks of atonement, that is, that he had been pierced, They too, in one day, will experience the removal of their sins by accepting the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus fulfilling Zechariah 3:9, where it says, God says, "And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day," that land referring to Israel. And He has already done this when He died on the cross. He redeemed the nation of Israel as well as the Gentile world. But it will be fully realized in the nation of Israel when the Messiah returns. Notice that this feast day is prefaced with Yom, or day, the Day of Atonement. The Bible often uses the word day in both a literal 24-hour day as well as to mean a long period of time. Again, the context will determine whether day means a literal 24-hour day or a long period of time. The Scripture tells us that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. That's a different day or a different time than the literal 24-hour day that we are accustomed to on earth. But this is talking about, that is, Yom Kippur is talking about a literal 24-day period. And so as one author, when writing on the feast, as he says, consistency of interpretation will show that as each of the feast days were literal 24-hour days in Israel's history, so they also are in their future. And the Jewish community today, throughout the world, celebrates Yom Kippur, as they were required to do in Leviticus 23, for a period of 24 hours. But the Day of Atonement can also be ushered in and remain open to all who believe and enter into the feast, spiritually speaking. When you accept Jesus Christ's death to atone for your sins, you experience at that moment Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And you go on experiencing the benefits of His saving death for you throughout your life. So there is that initial day that you enter into, and then it remains open to all who believe and enter into the spiritual benefits and messianic fulfillment of Yom Kippur. And all the feasts follow this format. There's the initial day, and after that, each feast day is open to all who will believe. Passover was fulfilled with the death of Jesus the Messiah on the cross. It took place in a literal 24-hour day. Yet, the spiritual benefits of this feast, its messianic implications, has been open ever since to all who will believe. The same for the day of Pentecost. It also took place on a literal 24-hour day. And yet this feast has been open ever since to all those who accept the baptism and infilling of the Holy Spirit that follows repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is true also with Yom Kippur, Feast of Tabernacles, and so on. All seven feasts, as a matter of fact. Well, like all the other feast days, Yom Kippur was a holy convocation, followed with a Sabbath rest. The Jewish community was told not to do any manner of work or labor when observing Yom Kippur for a 24-hour period. And like the other feasts, as we have read here in Leviticus 23 about Yom Kippur, any person that did any work on this day was immediately cut off from the people of God. Why was that? Why the strict prohibition against work and the subsequent punishment for those who violated this commandment? Well, again, this feast is illustrating the salvation wrought by God alone through the Messiah for sinful mankind. The work of salvation had to be accomplished by God, who is perfect. Mankind could not accomplish salvation on his own because it required an innocent and righteous substitute to die for guilty man, and at the same time it required perfect obedience to the law. So only God could do such a work, and man was to rest and accept that perfect work for himself and not try to improve on it by his soiled works that are tainted by the sin nature. The Day of Atonement was a 24-hour feast that was to be kept from evening to evening. And in order for Israel to fully participate in this feast, they had to cease from their works. A cessation of labor was required. And in its place, they were to rest completely in the work of the atonement. The work of the high priest in sanctuary service. They had to direct their eyes to the high priest with the sacrifice of the goat that God required, and pray through humility and repentance that God would accept that sacrifice in the Holy of Holies so that the nation's sins could be covered and forgiven for and extended for another year. The greater truth illustrated by this is found, of course, in Berit Hadashah, the New Testament. For you and I, the believer in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, there is true rest in Christ's sacrificial death for us, the atonement He provides. We must cease from trying to think we can earn God's forgiveness and salvation through our own good works. We must rather fasten our eyes upon our great high priest, in the words of the writer of Hebrews, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ the righteous, and has offered His death to atone for our sins forever and once for all. This reminds us again of the resounding truth of Scripture, that salvation is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it is solely based and established on what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us in His atoning death on Calvary's cross. Nothing more, nothing less can remove our sins other than Christ's atonement for us when He died on the cross. Praise God. So come to the cross and trust in that alone, that is the death of Christ on the cross, that His shed blood not only covers but removes your sins as far as the east and is from the west, and will be remembered by God, will not be remembered by God ever again. Well, I see my time is up. We will continue our study of Yom Kippur next time I'm with you. Until then, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.